Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt.
Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood chamber pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special episode of KSDA Radio. We don't know if Carl will make it in because this storm thing's getting weird, but we do have the great and wonderful Doc Sludge. Say hello, Doc.
I'm definitely not too great, but I am pretty wonderful. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
And we have the owner of Central Cinema and one of the heads of the KEA Knoxville Horror Fest, William Mahaffey. Say hello, William.
How's it going?
And, William, we have someone that you just gave money to recently. I hope so, because if you don't pay him, you might not send him the prints of the movies. And that's William Lustig. Say hello, William.
Hi, how you doing, guys? And I didn't get any money. Yeah,
it's Uh-oh. Coming, I swear.
Okay. I'm here.
Yeah. This week, first of all, say this week in Essential Cinema, if you ain't gone there yet, this is pretty solid weekend to go. I mean, just for us old-timers, he's got Smokey and the Bandit, Five Deadly Venoms, and one of the most batshit insane movies you have ever seen.
Which cinema is this?
Central Cinema. That's what you tell them, William.
We just opened up a theater in Knoxville. It's called Central Cinema, and we're just a one-screen theater. We got about 100 seats.
Wow,
and
great.
It's almost been a month. We've been open like 4 weeks.
Well, that's great. Do you serve drinks and food, or you just you don't do that yet?
No, we have a beer license, so we're serving beer, and otherwise we just serve basic concessions, and hopefully we'll get to where we're doing a little bit more down the line.
That's great. I think that's the future of cinema. Really,
I agree with you.
I think the AMCs are the thing of the past, and I think it's going to be the theaters that care are the ones that are going to survive.
Definitely. I totally agree with you because the mainstream cinema going experience isn't really that much fun anymore. They're not playing cool stuff and people who go don't really care about movies. So it's not worth spending $20 to go to a movie, you know, and not having a good time.
Yeah. I was just at an AMC yesterday and, you know, I can't agree with you more. I mean, there are certain event films which are worth going, but aside from that, they're not hospitable. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
It's gone from the enjoyment of the viewer to profit margin.
Well, I mean, these theaters are all losing money.
Yeah.
So it's not a profit margin thing. It's just they're not going to change. You know, they're not. They try, they attempt, but they fail so miserably.
And all the things they're trying are like, they get fancy recliners or come up with a new way to make, you know, like 3D or IMAX or whatever. You know, they just try to raise ticket prices, but they don't bother like focusing on, you know, projection and sound and keeping patrons from, you know, ruining movies for everybody. And that's like people who are really into movies, they care more about that stuff than, you know, if they can recline in their seat.
I'll tell you something funny. There's a AMC not far from where I live, and they have the recliner seats, and serving food, what they did is they don't have tables near with the recliners, so you literally have to put the food on your lap to eat, and I ordered a hamburger, and the hamburger came in a plastic plate with a plastic lid on top. So by the time it got to my seat, it was like steamed. It was horrible. And that's their attempt at trying to become Alamo Drafthouse.
Yeah, it sounds like they're far off from that still.
Nah, yeah. Yeah, they don't care. They don't know. So good. Well, I'm sure we have other things to talk about besides the cinema.
Yeah.
And the one that I was talking about, Bill, that they're showing, the crazy one, is they're actually showing The Visitor. That one may be one of the most what-the-fuck movies of the 70s, even if you just look at the cast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely an interesting picture. Yeah, I haven't seen it since, I haven't seen it in maybe 20 years. Or more, probably. But I remember it being a whacked out film.
It's a good one with a crowd.
Oh, yeah. So tell me a bit about your fest, your Knoxville Horror Film Fest.
It's our 10th anniversary this year. And that's kind of what led to the cinemas. We started doing that and then eventually started doing other screenings and then just decided to go for it and open a theater. And so it's partially at our theater, but our theater is kind of small, so we rent out a Regal and do a lot of it there. But we're showing your 4K restorations, Maniac and Zombie, and we've got a lot of other new indie horror stuff. We've got.
When do you start screening them? When are the screenings?
October 19th. The festival is October 18th through the 21st, and I think we're screening Zombie on the 19th and Maniac on the 20th.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see
that. Too bad.
I'm
going to be in New York
on
the 20th.
Yeah. What's funny, Bill, is that back before we were showing Maniac, it was the Downtown West. But in the 80s, it was the Kingston Six. And in 1980, when Maniac came out, that was its that's where its home was. It played regular, but then they played it as a midnight movie about 8. This is less of a premiere than it's actually coming home.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing everything you're saying.
Yeah, Steve, your signal's breaking up now pretty badly there. Unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties. Carl can't call in because of, we're not exactly sure why he can't call in, but I'm still here.
I'm here. But,
How long have you been working on those restorations? Sorry.
It's forever. I was just at the lab today, QCing the DCP. And we need to do a little work on it. And it feels never ending. I started the project in April, and the restoration itself was, the restoration itself took about more than 2 months, 2 to 3 months to do the restoration. It's a lot of work on it.
Do you do those yourself, or do you have people to do them?
I
or?
Have people who do it, but I do the QC myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm, you know, going through it, looking for anything, you know, and making logs, and it's very tedious. But
yeah.
The results is great.
For our listeners who aren't very into the know on how you restore films, how exactly do you do that? Do you go watch a movie frame by frame?
Yes, you go through it frame by frame. Imagine, have you guys ever worked with Photoshop?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
If you can imagine a more powerful version of Photoshop, whereby if, let's say, there's a white dot. You've seen those in movies, white dots on the screen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it takes the information on the preceding frames and the frames that come after when you and when you circle that dot, and it fills it in so that it matches. So it's a very powerful tool, and it and you know, you have to always check it because sometimes artifacts can creep in. But it's
right.
Very similar. It's a more sophisticated, powerful Photoshop.
Excellent. And there, you know, you also color melons and work with the lights and different colors and everything. So,
you have to do the color grading, in the case of 4K. We do two sets of color grades, SDH and HDR. And and the
HDR
is
high dynamic range.
Yeah. And that is that's going to be used for the UHD disc.
Right, cool. So you're actually going to put out a 4K disc?
Not immediately. We're putting it out in about a year or two.
Okay. So
yeah,
is
right
it a
now,
lot more...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Is it a lot more expensive to do the 4K disc?
Yes. Only I think it's because it's... Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is the to work with the files, the files are enormous.
Mm-hmm.
So the facility has to dedicate a lot of digital storage space for each project. And that, you know, is coming down in cost, but it's still costly. And then there's not many places that do UHD discs to do the authoring. So that makes those places a premium. And it's like when Blu-ray started, and it's like when DVD started. It's expensive at the beginning, and it comes down in cost. I'm waiting for the UHDs to come down at a level that makes sense based on the current sales, because not everybody, you know, really is buying UHD discs.
Right. I don't
think
that they're doing super well overall, but
the UHD units are fairly expensive.
Yeah, and it's also never really going to. I mean, I think physical home media is still a collector's market at this time, and it's never really going to become huge and mainstream, but it will become bigger than what it is now.
Well, this week came out one of the first discs where they're making you buy the 4K HD disc, and that would be John Carpenter's Christine.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
even if
you
just want Blu-ray, you got to buy a 4K disc.
Yeah, but they don't really charge you. I don't know what the pricing on it. I think the pricing is fairly reasonable. When
they drop
take
fast.
Into account the discounts.
Yeah.
When 4K Blu-rays, I mean, it's been so quickly since they dropped. Like, I got a 4K player last Christmas, I think, and they were like $40, and then now they're the same price as Blu-rays.
Yeah.
But
I know everything is going to come down. Plus, there's going to be new HDR TVs in a year or two, and we actually did our HDR 16, not 10. Currently, it's HDR 10, but HDR 16 is on the horizon, and wow, what a difference.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Liam, did you find it easier now with all of these 4D restorations being put on the market, the cinema market, to get the older films than it has been before?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand you. What was that?
Ask William, is it easier now that you're seeing like Celestial's dumped a lot of its HD Shaw's remasters on the market, on the screening market and stuff, to get some of the older stuff than it has been before?
Understand the question. I'm sorry.
I think he's asking if it's easy for us to get, which you would probably know more about this anyway, older films or like we're showing the Shaw Brothers movie this week, like finding films like that or maybe like exploitation stuff. And it's definitely easier to find nice prints of stuff like that, especially because American Genre Film Archive exists and you work with them, don't you, Bill?
No, but I know them.
They handle all sorts of prints, and they want to get the movie shown, so they're willing to work with small theaters like ours and give us good rates for screening fees and stuff like that. So,
film or just DCP?
We're just doing digital right now, unfortunately. We actually do have a projector. We found out about there was a film collector who he had a projector, a 35 projector he was wanting to sell, and right next to our theater, there's this little place called Raven Records, and the owner, it's Raven Records and Rarities is the name of it, because he's ran theaters for years, and he's got a huge collection of posters and memorabilia and all sorts of movie-related stuff from doing that, and he's been wanting to buy a 35 because he knew we were opening the theater, and hopefully we'll eventually be able to do it. It's going to take a bit of an upgrade to our booth, but we have the projector, and right now it's just kind of on display, but it came with pretty much everything that you would need to have a good 35 setup. I think we just have to buy a couple of lenses, but hopefully we'll do that eventually.
Good. Good. It's not easy to find the rights to these movies. You know, that's the key, is getting the proper chain of title and all that. But I don't want to, that's kind of boring to your audience.
Yeah, that stuff's fascinating to me, but I'm sure most people are like, what?
Yeah.
Our listeners are very interested in that, because myself and Steve, we go to a lot of different conventions and film festivals. Like this past weekend, I went to the Drive-In Super Monsterama down in Vandergrift, Pennsylvania. And it's really fascinating to me, at least, like how many hurdles you have to jump through and who you have to contact to actually get the rights to show a film at a certain time. And it's actually kind of cool, honestly.
Yeah, well, it's from your perspective, you're just wanting to show it one off. But if I want to release it on some kind of media, it's a lot more involved.
Right.
Yeah, I heard that you had some troubles tracking down the rights to your own films when you was trying to get them for Blue Underground.
Okay. Are you going to be showing Maniac in true 4K?
Yes.
Right.
The Regal that we are screening at, we kind of like save the bigger titles for there, and they actually have true 4K. So, yeah, we just like arranged having the DCP sent earlier today.
I don't know if it's possible, but if it can be coordinated, I'd be happy to do a phone-in Q&A with the audience.
Okay. Yeah, that we might be able to work that out. That'd be awesome.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be on East Coast time. I'm going to be in New York, but I'm actually I'm doing a screening at the Alamo in Brooklyn that night. I don't know what time it is, but maybe we can figure it out, and I could do a Q&A with the audience afterwards.
Okay. Are you doing any other festivals? I thought maybe I saw you were doing a couple others in the October.
Doing appearances?
Or screening, or doing any screenings, I guess.
Yeah, Fantastic Fest.
Okay.
It's actually a week from a week from Friday. On the 21st, I'll be screening Maniac and doing a Q&A there. And also at Sigis in Spain. And Beyond Fest in Los Angeles.
Have you been to all those before? I'm guessing you probably
have.
Yeah. Love Fantastic Fest.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I was at Fantastic Fest when it first started. I haven't been there in a while. But it's fun to return. Great barbecue there.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Tim League. He's a character.
Now, he's a good guy. Like, when we first got started, I kind of like grant a lot of the success of our festival to him because we didn't really know what we were doing. But that year was the year I went to Fantastic Fest, and I met him there and met some of their programmers, and they helped us get short films. So the first festival we had was just all shorts, but we had a bunch of Fantastic Fest shorts. So it looked like, you know, it just made our festival look so much better because we had these amazing shorts from like all around the world. And then as big as they've gotten since then, like I can shoot him an email on occasion asking him advice. Like I asked him advice about the theater like a year ago, and he'll get back to you like right away. And very down to earth, cool guy.
He realizes your success is his success.
Yeah.
I'm scared that he has two Christmas movies this year. I'm scared, William. You haven't
Steve
seen Red
like
Christmas, Doc.
No.
Steve doesn't like this one Christmas horror movie we showed a few years ago, and every time I book a Christmas-themed horror movie, he gets worried about it.
No.
That wasn't the worst one. The worst, I don't know who did it. It was on one of the slips, and it said, and Jessica showed it to me, and it said, I wish I could have my 90 minutes back so I could burn this copy of the print before it was even shown. That wasn't me.
Oh, so somebody else said that about it?
Yes.
People didn't like that one. Have you seen Red Christmas, Bill? Do you keep
no,
up with
I
a
haven't.
Lot of newer horror? It's not that great, but it's got Dee Wallace in it, and she gives a pretty good performance.
Nope, I've not seen
it. And an apocalypse, which you're showing this year, Sam, looks weird, and that's a good thing.
It's supposed to be really good. It did really well at Fantastic Fest last year. That's where I first heard about it. And,
which film?
Anna and the Apocalypse.
Oh, okay. I've never seen it.
So what do you watch
British
these days? Do you?
Musical.
Yeah, it's a British zombie musical.
That's
Christmas
well,
musical.
What do I watch?
Yeah, do you?
Yesterday
keep
I
up
went to see what I thought
stuff?
Was one of the worst movies I ever saw, Peppermint.
Oh, I've been seeing reviews.
Have you
for that
seen
one.
It?
I haven't seen it yet. No.
It's beyond horrible.
Well, I don't have sympathy for anyone who would go see a Jennifer Gardner action film in the first place.
Well,
especially after
Elektra. I did it. And let's see. I'm trying to think what else. I mostly, you know, I watch a lot of stuff. Like, I'm a big fan of Eddie Mueller's Noir Alley show on TCM.
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch that?
I haven't watched that particular show, but I like Turner Classic Movies a lot.
Well,
I don't have cable currently, but that's the one channel I would like.
Yeah, they have a weekly show with Eddie Mueller as host, and it's
really good.
I see pretty much everything. Anything new that comes out, I go see.
Have you seen The Meg?
And I go to a lot of retro shows.
Are you still in New York?
No,
I guess
I was bi-coastal until 6 years ago, and now I'm living mostly in Los Angeles. But I'm in New York three, four times a year for like a week or two at a clip.
Okay.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time in Tennessee, you know, in the 90s.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, in Nashville.
Oh.
I worked on a project down there.
What project?
It's a terrible movie. It was called The Expert with Jeff Speakman, and the film was a very negative experience for me. But shooting down in Nashville was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
had a great time. Yeah,
it's grown a whole lot to where it's not quite as much fun to go to as it used to be. It feels a lot like Atlanta now.
Really? I can imagine that. Yeah.
Well, I love how big Knoxville Horror Fest is getting. I mean, I see all these podcasts that want to go there, and all the help that you guys are getting from the filmmaking community in Knoxville.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, that's one of the coolest things that's happened with the theater is because we do a lot of genre stuff, we weren't sure, you know, is the city cool enough to, are there enough film geeks here to, like, be into a theater that plays a lot of that stuff? And so we've been trying to have really diverse programming and do a lot of, like, family matinees and stuff, but we've quickly realized that those aren't doing well, and it's just the crazier genre stuff that we're doing is doing really well. Like, we screened Miss 45 a couple of weeks ago, and I never would have guessed that we would have really good crowds for Miss 45, but it was like pretty much the top performer that weekend. I think it did better than Clueless. We did Clueless that weekend too, and Miss 45 tied it or did better. And
I think you may be two or 3 years ahead of the curve with 90s nostalgia.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to hit. It seems like what people like, but they also seem to like Miss 45, and we did Wild at Heart. That was our biggest screening yet. And we did Shogun Assassin over the weekend.
Assassin
that did really, it did really well. It was the top performing movie over the weekend. It beat Do the Right Thing.
Huh. I believe it.
Well, a lot of your generation probably seen Do the Right Thing by being forced to see it in film class, and be it a book or a movie, being forced to see something in a film class will take away your real appreciating of it as just entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, good.
I can't wait to see Zombie and Maniac both on the big screen. That's going to be a good thrill.
I'm telling you, the Zombie is like you've never seen before. It's absolutely spectacular. And I have to say, Maniac 2 is something that it was shocking for me to see it. Because 4K, and also in the case of Maniac, we used the original camera negative for the first time as the source material for the scan. So it really, really looks spectacular.
Do you feel like, I mean, you got to see a lot of these movies that are getting restorations now when they first came out, and do you feel like, I mean, especially that's your film, like, does it seem like it looks, is there a comparison, like, when you first saw it, when you first made it to this 4K restoration?
Well,
do you feel like you see more?
The only element that was used for prints and for video mastering was the original 35mm blow-up negative. The movie was originally shot 16.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we used the original 35 negative as the source for all the video transfers and everything. Going back to the original 16 is like a revelation. It's like all of a sudden, it's like for years I've been watching the movie through, it seems like I've been watching it through a veil of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the veil is lifted and you see this crisp image, and it's pretty remarkable.
So had you held on to the original negative this whole time,
well,
or did you have to find it?
Yes, but here's the thing. We didn't know where it was. We had it, but didn't know where it was. And it turned out that when we shot Maniac, we had given it a fake title. So, because, you know, if you're going to go get permits and you're going to go and you want to ask somebody to shoot on their property, using the title Maniac kind of is provocative.
Yeah.
So when we shot Maniac, we shot it under a title called On the Run, a really benign, vanilla title. And as a result, all the original camera negative was canned and boxed under the title On the Run. And it just was one of those things that got kind of lost in a storage room. And it was discovered in April when we connected the dots and said, oh shit, this is Maniac. So the truth is we lost it for like 35 years.
So what about Zombie?
Don't forget,
is that from
Bill,
a
Frank Henenlotter had lost the negative to Basket Case until he was cleaning out a closet in his apartment one day. And there it was.
Right. It's a very similar situation.
That Basket
Case
restoration looks really amazing, too.
Yeah. And that, too, was 16mm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of remarkable. So Maniac, you asked about Zombie. That, too, we transferred from its original camera negative. So it looks just amazing.
Was that hard to track down?
No, that we knew where it was.
Huh. So did you get that when you first acquired those films a while back?
Well, no, it's in Rome. The negative was in Rome, but I have access to it.
Okay. Do they make you scan them over there? Can you bring them back here to scan?
No, I scan it there. They are very good places, great, good facilities, and, you know, top-grade equipment. It's not in any way a handicap.
Well, that's cool.
Oh, William, in
Rome is nice.
They treat their B-movies and exploitation, especially if it was a hit, with more respect than we do with IRB movie and exploitation films over here.
I guess it all depends, but yeah, I would say that's not a bad assessment.
They've been getting, I feel like, you know, like exploitation and horror has been getting a lot better treatment over the last few years, and I mean, just the fact that, you know, the type of stuff that's getting put out that has like 4K restorations. I mean, there's a 4K restoration of like Rawhead Rex, you know, like who would have ever thought
mm-hmm.
that would be a thing?
Yeah, well,
God, sure,
you know, if you're going to go and if you're going to re-release something, you're going to want to give the customers a better product to justify double dipping.
Mm-hmm. Well, so are you still acquiring new titles at all?
William Schultz Suspiria, and I gave up my seat because I got a press pass, and I'm like, dang, these people here, they paid for it. I'm going to get out of my seat and let them have it.
That's a really beautiful restoration,
too. That one sold out. You could have probably took out one of the other films and put another screen of Suspiria and probably sold that out, too.
Yeah, it was surprising how well that did. Because you don't know how people react to it. Yeah, it is a classic for sure. It's just you never know how, like, we're Knoxville's gotten to be a cooler city, but you never know how stuff's going to do here. It's definitely changed over the years, but, you know, the percentage of people into film is not quite as high as the people.
I would expect you to do real well with Maniac and Zombie.
Yeah, people were really excited about both those.
Mm-hmm.
They're both they're like slightly obscure, I guess you could say. But I mean, even like the average person probably has at least ran across the posters for both of those.
Right.
And they're both really iconic posters.
Uh-huh. I think in some ways they're better known than
Suspiria. Back in 1980 and 10-year-old me seeing Warm Face and then, we are going to eat you.
Yeah.
They didn't play back then. And of course, Maniac's famous one, I told you not to go out tonight. And
uh-huh.
To quote Joe Spinell, why'd you give me a freaking hard-on on the poster?
Yeah, what was working with Joe Spinell like? Were you pretty close to him or?
Very close. Joe was a wonderful actor. He really knew his craft. He really knew cinema, and so it was very easy to work with him on the film. What made Joe difficult, however, was some of his personal issues. And, but I'd rather not dwell on that because he's no longer with us, and those personal issues were his undoing. And, I'd rather focus on the great talent he was.
No, he's a real presence on screen. Anytime he pops up in something, he fills the scene.
Oh, without a doubt. And there are many directors who worked with him will tell you the same thing. That's why they worked with him multiple times.
Yeah, and how he got to be the highest paid actor on The Godfather.
He did. Well, no, he wasn't the highest. No. It's not exactly true that he was the highest paid actor. What's true is that he was, because of the way SAG residuals work, it turned out that he was getting the highest residuals of nearly anybody on the movie. Yeah.
I hadn't heard that before. That's great.
Yeah. Well, what happened is...
Are you
going to
have that on the news set, the Joe Spinell story?
Oh, pardon?
Are you going to have that on the new Maniac set that's coming out?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That to me, that Joe Spinell story featurette is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so proud of it. And yes, that will be anytime Maniac comes out in any form, that will always be part of it.
The original 10 set that you put out of Maniac with Anchor Bay with the bizarre soundtrack CD that's shaped like Joe's head.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
It's shaped like his head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it actually plays, too.
I know. It's amazing.
Is the soundtrack with the new release?
Yes, the soundtrack is with the new release. And I don't want to promise, but we're trying to do it with the head on the soundtrack. Oh. But I just don't know yet if we're going to be able to do it.
That's exactly.
It really comes down to our manufacturer.
Right. Well, that's awesome. I really appreciate it.
Even if it's not the head, it's an amazing soundtrack, period.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a great soundtrack.
I wish that, like, a lot of these older movies would do that. But you guys and who's the other company that does that all the time? Grindhouse.
Arrow?
Arrow?
They'll do that a lot, too.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
You guys used to work together, is that right? Or?
No, we did some projects together.
Okay, yeah.
I think the most unique one that I can't wait to see people's reaction to this year, William, is the man who killed Hitler and then Bigfoot, killed the Bigfoot.
Yeah. That one's pretty interesting. Have you heard of that? Have you guys heard of that? Or?
No.
It's got Sam Elliott in it.
Sam Elliott plays this guy who in World War II is the man who killed Hitler. And now that he's old, there's a Bigfoot with a virus going around, and they hire him to kill him before he gets into the town and infects everybody.
That sounds wonderfully silly. I got to see it. I've got to see it.
What's interesting about it is it's kind of like a slow burn, like sad movie about like an old man reflecting on his life. It's very different than you think it would be. There's a Bigfoot fight, of course, but it's not what you expect. I believe that one of the things that's interesting about that movie is that John Sayles and Lucky McKee are both involved. I don't know if they're both producers or one of them wrote it, but
mm-hmm.
Such a weird combination of elements on a movie.
Wait, you said Lucky McKee, the same Lucky McKee who did the Alice video games?
I don't know if he did those, but he did May and The Woods.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Red.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a definite go see. Gotta see it. Definite gotta see it right there.
Wow.
And from watching the trailers of Lewis Williams, that's one of those I don't want to know much about it when I'm going in. It looks like the more you know about it before you go see it, the less you'll be entertained.
About which one?
L-U-Z.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like kind of an art house horror thing. And the lead actor in it looks a lot like Klaus Kinski. Like, I feel like watching, I actually haven't even watched that one yet, but I'm really excited to see it. But I feel like I'm watching a trailer for like a Lost Herzog film or something. Yeah, that one looks cool. And then we've got one called House of, I can't remember the titles of the movies we're showing. House of Sweat and Tears, I think. It's a Spanish film.
Yeah. Is that going to be showing before or after the live podcast from Shockwaves? Because one of the Shockwaves podcasters directed it?
Oh, no. Yeah, one of the directors, the director of All the Creatures We're Stirring is Rebecca McKendry. And, yeah, the other movie is Spanish. It's another female director, it's not her though. But I'm not sure when we're doing her movie yet. They are coming to do podcasts, but she's shooting in October, so we're trying to figure out exactly when we want to do her movie. But she's planning on being there, and Elric's definitely going to be there. I think you did their podcast once a while back.
Who's that?
They're called Shockwaves now, but it's Rob Galuzzo and Rebecca McKendry.
Oh, Rob, yeah. I don't think I did their podcast yet.
Okay. Maybe not. Maybe it was like something else, but yeah, it's a good podcast. You know, they know their horror really well, and it's a little more, slightly more academic than some, I would say.
Oh, I haven't. I've listened to it. I don't have the time to listen to all the podcasts. But
yeah, there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know they were doing a documentary on scary stories before you programmed it. That's going to be interesting, especially for those that read the books as kids.
Yeah, that's a big part of what it's about, like how they were banned. And they interview a lot of the people who kind of spearheaded that, getting the books banned in the 80s. It's a cool documentary. They take a lot of the art and animate it in cool ways.
Hmm.
Awesome. Yeah, I grew up with those.
I may give them stuff about Red Christmas, but usually when William and them take a risk, 99% of the time, it's worth the take going on there. Especially the short films. This guy has one of the best tastes in short films I've ever seen.
Well, thank you. The shorts are pretty awesome this year. I haven't even got through screening all of them yet, but we've gotten to where we get a lot of really awesome submissions every year, so we're going to have another really good lineup.
Isn't one of the shorts controversial because it's biased? Because one of the people that picked the shorts for your festival is engaged to one of the people that's in one of the shorts that you picked?
Is it controversial?
Yeah, because of bias towards one of the actresses in the festival that works the festival every year?
No, because anything that somebody who's directly involved with the festival, if they have a film screening, then they're not in competition. So.
Mm-hmm.
That won't be in competition this year. And we've also brought on some people. What?
I can't wait to see BFF Girls.
It's a good one.
Well, Brian Lanano, he's always great.
We've also got, we brought on this filmmaker, Jill Six, who did this movie, The Stylist. Which actually, Maniac is a huge influence on her and her film. She was really excited.
What's it called, The Stylist?
Yeah, you may have seen it. It's played a lot.
I've never heard of it.
Okay. Well, it's a short. But it's about like a hairstylist.
You need to get her to get that short film to let him see it. You'd like it. It's great.
Well, I'd love to see it. Is it available?
But we brought her on to... Yeah, actually, if I think it's on Shudder. I don't know if you've ever used that at all, but they have like a short film collection on there, and it's on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably just online at this point too, but I don't know if Shudder has an exclusive for it. Do you do much streaming stuff, or you
made the third short film you showed to Brian's at the fest?
What was the third one?
Yeah, BFF Girls would be the third.
Oh, yeah. We may have shown four. Yeah, we've shown four of his films.
Oh, this only film. Ones that I've seen is Crowhand and William.
We did another one called Welcome to Dignity Pastures.
Oh, God, he did that one?
Yeah. A while back. Oh, actually, we did one called The Transmission, so we've had five of his films.
Yeah. I've seen you played that one. Welcome to Serenity Pastures is basically, imagine a funeral home commercial for a funeral home during a zombie apocalypse.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, this filmmaker that we're talking about, he's based out of Atlanta, and he's done his shorts have hit really big on the festival circuit, and he had one called Crowhand and one called Gwilliam, and Gwilliam kind of feels like he's going to be the successor to Frank Henenlotter. It's about a little goblin that gives blowjobs, and it just has that, like, that kind of gross aesthetic that Frank had in his 80s movies, and but it's really funny, though, you know. It's, he's really talented.
On YouTube.
That's funny.
He's very good at making the perfect little, like, 5-minute short film that almost functions like a practical joke. Like, I feel like that's some of the best short films are just, you know, they get in and they get out really quick, and those are the ones that tend to do really well at festivals, and he's kind of mastered that.
Hmm. Interesting.
Do you see many shorts when you go to festivals, or?
What do you... Sometimes. I don't see a lot, but I see them.
Did you do a lot of shorts before you got started making features?
No.
Or?
No, I didn't do many. No, I did some, but not many.
Do you think that's more common now than it was back then?
He's one of the bigger graduates of what I personally call the adult school of filmmaking.
That's true.
And I call it that because only in 70s adult cinema could someone just like Wes Craven's story just walk off the street and said, I want to do something. Okay, edit this film and help tie these leaders together. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that was my film school. Can't deny it.
There's nothing wrong with it. I wish they had something nowadays where someone could just go in and get real experience.
Yeah,
I feel like
nowadays. They won't hire you without experience, but nobody will hire you because you don't have experience. So what do I do?
Yeah.
I think that's maybe why there's more people making short films. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if short films were quite as common back then, but it seems like now, you know, there's like an abundance of short films because, you know, anybody can pick up a digital camera and shoot something, but doing a feature still is a big obstacle, but they can make a short and then they play all these festivals, and it's like a calling card, and a lot of them, you know, end up going on to doing features. But maybe it was the same way back then, too, but it doesn't seem quite like that.
Yeah. Are you guys going to be showing a lot of shorts at your festival?
Yeah, we do a decent amount. We don't do as many as we used to, but that's just because I've been packing in a lot more features over the years. This year we're going to have, I think we're going to have 15 features, and last year we had 10. So it gets harder every year to fit in as many shorts, especially like this year. We've got a lot of good ones that are like 15, 20 minutes long. So it's harder to fit them in, especially when they're a little bit longer like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we kind of got where we got started as a short film festival. We like to keep doing that and kind of, you know, stay connected to our roots. And I feel like there's a lot of really good short films. They don't really have a venue to be seen. You know, they play on YouTube, but, you know, they get lost because there's, you know, tons of things on YouTube, and there's no real dedicated platform to them, so I think that, you know, they deserve to be seen in the theater, so we try to do as many as we can.
Yeah.
So have you ever dipped your toe in like working in a theater or screenings or trying to do like a screening series or anything like that? Or
I did in New York. I did. There was a cinema called the Anthology, and it ran for 4 or 5 years. I did a series that would take place over 2 weeks, and I was showing films that were unavailable, that I loved, that were unavailable on any form of home media. And this is before the studios began to burn on demand labels. And many of the films that I featured, they wound up putting on burn on demand.
Okay. What were some of the favorite films that you screened?
Well, one of the films that I thought was really special was a movie called Welcome Home, Soldier Boy. And it didn't get really the audience loved it. They had never heard of it, never seen it, and the audience just absolutely loved the movie. And still to this day, Fox has not put it out. They did a burn on demand, but it was clearly made from an old 1-inch, you know, 4x3, terrible, terrible copy. But Fox did put it on their burn on demand. I don't know if it's still available. But an excellent movie.
No, I think Fox has shut down their burn on demand series, period.
Yeah, I think so too. And let's see, what else was popular? Sitting Target. Did you ever see that with Oliver Reed?
No, I haven't seen that.
Excellent. I showed a ton of movies. Someone actually did an article, and I think it was on Facebook or Twitter, where they listed all the movies that I premiered at my festival. Well, they weren't really premieres, but they were films that I hadn't seen a theater in quite a long time. Another great one, The Outfit, with Robert Duvall.
I'm familiar with that.
That was that one's a sequel to Point Blank.
Well, it's not a sequel, but it's the same author.
Yeah, same character too. Parker. There was Point Blank, The Outfit, Slayground, Parker with Jason Statham, Payback with
Mel Gibson. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's something
that's
my favorite type of That's my favorite type of thing to screen is something that, you know, nobody has heard of, and like I feel like there's a certain kind of excitement with an audience when they're discovering something like old and lost for the first time like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my series was very popular.
And I put something on the visitors page earlier today. I don't know if you've seen it or not, William. I said, "Welcome to Hollywood, bitch."
I haven't seen that yet.
Well, there's a scene where Shelley Winters, it's a tiny bit of spoiler, goes up to the little girl in the movie and grabs her and legitimately shakes the living shit out of her and backslaps her.
Huh.
She said she went up to 8-year-old girl to Shelley Winters. "You really hurt me." And she said Shelley Winters got right in her face and said, "Welcome to Hollywood, bitch."
Oh, God.
You know, that the actress is that little girl. She lives in Atlanta. And Brian Lanano, the filmmaker we were talking about, he did a screening series there for a while, and he screened The Visitor and got her to come out. And he put me in contact with her, and I've traded emails with her a little bit, and I was trying to get her to come up, and she was interested, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But I wish that she would come up, because I'd love to hear stories from the set of that movie, because I'm sure she's probably got some good ones.
Yeah.
What's weird is that was put out by a Southern company, in this area that only put out one movie, and most of the time it was double featured with it, and that would be The Billion Dollar Hobo with Tim Conway.
Really? That's bizarre.
That is a weird
that
combo.
Is a, yeah. I looked up her credits online, and every movie, she's only in like five movies, and all of them look very bizarre. There's some late 80s movie with Jim Varney in it about, it's something about pizza, and there's like a sex drug that's getting put into pizza or something like that.
Oh, Hamburger the
Mystic
Movie.
Pizza?
Hamburger the Movie.
Yeah.
That might be it. Maybe it's hamburgers and not pizza.
Wow.
That was back when I'd watch anything Jim Varney is in because he is actually good.
I watched Ernest movies when I was little.
I met Jim Varney. I had been with
you
him.
You met him?
Yeah, when I was in Nashville.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that he is from here.
Yeah. Yeah, he used to tell me some funny stories. Nice guy. Really, really nice guy. Very smart. What, there was a guy in Nashville, a director of commercials named Buster Cherry. That's what they called him. And he was he directed the Ernest films. And he told me that he and Buster would get together once a month to shoot those Ernest commercials. And the way they did it is they would come up with a skit that they would use for different stores around the country, and they would do one for each media orbital. And it didn't matter if it was a dealership, it didn't matter if it was a paint store, whatever it was, they'd plug the name into the skit, but it would be the same skit repeated.
You know, they do that a lot for radio nowadays. Like, you know, we have multi-mega radio ownerships around here, like iHeartMedia owns five channels where I live. And basically they'd have, let's say, Ozzy Osbourne say, you know, you're listening to iHeartRadio in Rochester at 95.1. But all that they would really do is just have him say that whole spiel. Then they, instead of having him say it all again, he would just say the different radio station names or the different area that they're in. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, and... And they would make a bundle. They were making a lot of money each month doing it.
And
were you meeting
Carl
with him
couldn't
just
be here
to meet?
Tonight because he had phone issues. Sorry, Wilm. I have to ask this for him. This is the first of two questions I know he wanted to ask. One, how was it like working with Leo Rossi, William?
Oh, great guy. Yeah, really,
and
really
his big
nice
question
guy.
Is because he's obsessed with him. Is what was it like? How was it like working with Larry Cohen?
Larry's a talented writer, but you know, we haven't spoken in a while. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah. Well, if half of the stories I heard about Maniac Cop 2. Three is true. I'm amazed you didn't go on a murder spree.
No, it wasn't that bad. That wasn't so bad. Nah.
And he's the kind of weirdo that watches Uncle Sam every 4th of July. Carl.
Nothing wrong with Uncle Sam.
And one of his favorite movies is Blood Freak. And I love it, too.
I'm sorry.
You
didn't
show that one at Thanksgiving, William. Blood
Freak.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the killer turkey man, drugs, stuff.
I've heard about that one, but I haven't seen it.
It's about a guy who gets hooked on marijuana, and because he's testing this chemically enhanced turkey at a farm, he turns into a pot-addicted turkey monster. who goes around and drinks everyone's blood.
Oh.
My go-to Thanksgiving horror movie is Blood Rage.
Yeah. guys, I didn't think this show was, I wrote it down as being an hour, and I've got to actually run.
Oh, don't
worry
about it. It was nice having you.
That's okay.
If you have any, if you have a last question, I'll be happy to answer it. If not, let me know if
you
want me to do the Q&A for that screening.
Okay, yeah, I was put in touch with you on another email chain about some merch stuff earlier, so I'll follow up with you through that. That's cool.
Okay, great. All right, well, have a good evening, guys, and we'll be in touch.
All right, thanks
a
lot. Nice talking to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
And to get back to him, the Ranger, is that going to be on one of Thursday's shows?
It's probably going to be at Downtown West.
Mm.
We have some,
okay,
themed. Go ahead.
What, Doc?
I got to ask something here. I'm here, one of my friends on Facebook, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to poke anybody the wrong way, has been going absolutely bonkers in promoting The Ranger. What is it, and is it really that good?
It is, it's kind of a punk rock horror film. It's about these punkers who go on the run, and they end up in this forest where there is kind of a crazy forest ranger stalking them. That's the basic premise. There's a lot more going on in it, but I think it's really fun. It's directed by Jen Wexler, been Larry Fessenden's assistant for years, but I think it's her, I believe she's done some shorts maybe, but it's her feature debut, but it's a lot of fun. You know, it kind of feels like it's kind of like an 80s throwback, but her style is definitely her own, and I really enjoyed it. I saw it at Chattanooga Film Fest earlier this year.
Very cool. Okay. Because I actually do very much trust this person's opinion. They were kind of going over on and on about it. I'm like, maybe, maybe not, but I would definitely watch it then. It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's cool.
And most definitely, you need to get to the fest this year because it's usually one of the most fun things to do in Knoxville on Halloween.
Oh, this Halloween, we got some stuff going on.
Which one is the Aunt Jensen one? The Field Guide to Evil or All the Creatures Were Stirring?
Field Guide to Evil is the Aunt Timpson, Tim League anthology, and then All the Creatures Were Stirring is the Christmas anthology that's by Rebecca McKendry.
Yeah. It just seems like every year there's an anthology film there, and 90% of the time it has to be Aunt Timpson. I think he's addicted to making anthologies.
Yeah, he's had a film at almost every festival for a while. He produced Greasy Strangler and what else? ABC's of Death.
That's one of
the ABC's
I
of
love
Death. The VHS films.
Yeah.
Man, I had a lot of fun with ABC's of Death. I really, really thought that was fun. And like I said, Steve loves the Greasy Strangler.
Yeah. He's got a new feature out. I think it's premiering at Fantastic Fest, or maybe it's premiering at Aunt Timpson's Fest in Australia. Or New Zealand. It's got Aubrey Plaza and Jermaine Clement, which seems like pretty fitting actors for that director.
Very cool.
And you got Blood Lake, which is your weirdo selection. You usually have one of those once a year, just one of those little bizarre older films.
Yeah, that's Bleeding Skull. Go ahead, what was that?
Is Blood Lake the one with the killer lampreys? Or is it like...
No, that's a newer one. No, there is a newer one that has killer lampreys. This one's from the 80s. I haven't seen it, but it's Agfa and Bleeding Skull are releasing it, and Bleeding Skull you know, they kind of like rescue shot on video movies that are either have been lost or like kind of gotten off people's radar. And this is their latest one of those.
Yeah, this is one I've heard a lot on the bad movie cult scene.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the stuff they do is. But they're always a lot of fun. I've seen a lot of them at Chattanooga Film Fest and picked up a lot of them. They do a good job.
And you got the Clovehitch killer, which sort of obviously tells me what he's going to kill people with.
It does give that away.
It's going to be Willard Waffle Iron, Steve.
That's the twist. It's a waffle iron.
The twist. And intentions, whatever that is. That's one I've never heard of.
It's really new. It is. It has Jeremy Gardner from The Battery in it, and Larry Fessenden has a small role in it. And it's really cool. I had that one. I just picked that one up very recently, and it was like a really pleasant surprise. I didn't really know anything about it, and I really enjoyed it.
And is there going to be top secret surprise off the festival screenings this year like there was last year with that little short film?
Oh, there's not a short film surprise. We also added, the short you're talking about, William, right? Is that right?
No, last year was the basket case one, Belial's
Dream. Yeah, the basket case one. We don't have anything exactly like that, but we do have a really cool secret screening, but it's a feature and it's an older film. And, I'm not saying anything else about it, but it's a crazy movie.
That was one of the reasons that everybody popped when it was the basket case screening last year is that you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're screening at the original. Go ahead.
What in the heck is the Eye Slicer Halloween special?
Oh, so the Eye Slicer, that's what I was about to say. The Eye Slicer, they put together like a short film program. This is their second one. And I got to know them through Brian Lanano. And they basically just kind of cultivate the best short films in a given year, and then they put them together in like one sort of feature presentation. And this year they're doing Halloween special, and they actually got some funding, and they funded a new William short. So that's part of it. And then a lot of other really good shorts. Great Choice, which is one we showed last year that was kind of like a lot of people's favorite, is part of it this year. So that's going to be screening again, but it's all kind of collected together in this almost anthology format, but it's hosted by, they found 20 amateur Elvira impersonators on Craigslist, and it's hosted by all 20 at once. Between segments, it cuts to these Elvira impersonators. It's pretty funny.
And if you haven't seen Great Choice, you need to see that one.
Yeah,
that one is just off the charts bizarre.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my favorites last year.
Yeah, Red Lobster commercial going very wrong.
Oh, dear. That sounds pretty epic at the same time.
It was.
It's a really excellent film.
And you're having two parties this year instead of one.
That's right. We're bringing part of the Jill Six, part of her role is kind of like helping us improve on the party, so we're going to have a karaoke apocalypse party after Anna and the Apocalypse at Central Cinema, and then we're going to have a punk rock party after the night of the Ranger. They won't probably be directly after the movies, but that the same day they play, we'll have those. And then on Thursday night at Central Cinema. That's where everything kicks off. We're doing the Eye Slicer first, and then we're going to do Blood Lake, and we might add another surprise feature in that night that's kind of a party movie. So it'll almost be like we're having three parties.
Oh, nice.
Excellent. Man, I wish I could get down there. I really do. I live south of Rochester, New York, so it'd be like, whew, of a drive.
Yeah, I guess that's
right. And how much, and regular tickets, if you want to go the whole weekend, is $100. But what do you get with $100? You get 15 movies, two parties.
God knows how many shorts.
Yeah, hours of shorts. And, of course, the most infamous part of the festival, that is the Grindhouse Grindout.
Yep, it's back again.
And I love
and hopefully
Will,
it'll be...
can you please ban school bells from the Grindout this year? Please.
And what exactly is the Grindhouse Grindout?
Oh, it's a filmmaking competition. We give people 6 days and 66 minutes to make a exploitation trailer or short.
Nice. Oh, I like that.
And it's a lot of fun. People go pretty crazy with it. It's been a cool addition to the festival. We started it, I think, the third year we were doing the festival.
Nice.
And it's very popular.
Oh, the whole Grindhouse thing is like a party itself. There's two things that usually sell out almost, and that's, well, usually the biggest of the retro screenings, which means if you're going to see Zombie or Maniac, you better get your tickets beforehand.
Yep. And especially this year, things are a little different.
Too, it usually sells out.
Yeah, it definitely sells out, too. And this year, since we're at Central Cinema for part of it, we can sell less than 100 passes for the entire festival because Central Cinema only seats like 94. But that doesn't mean that people won't be able to get into everything. We're going to work out after everyone who's brought passes has showed up, you know, like a few minutes before screenings, we'll sell tickets to stuff there if people didn't get their passes. But and additionally, this year we have a special pass. It's the RIP pass, which stands for Really Important Persons, or VIP. That is $200, and that gets you into the entire festival and every horror movie that's playing at Central Cinema in October. If you're a member of Central Cinema, then you can get that for $150. And it seems like a lot, but we're playing, besides all the festival stuff you get, we've got a double feature of the John Carpenter's The Thing and The Thing from Another World. And we've got a Brain Damage, Basket Case double feature, Reanimator, Bride of Reanimator double feature, and we're showing three double features of Universal Horror movies. And that's not everything.
Don't say that. You'll make Doc cry.
Yeah, very much so.
I don't want to make anybody cry.
Very much.
You may pay a lot for some of the stuff at the Knoxville Horror Fest, but you do get your money's worth.
I like to think so. And we went up a little bit this year, but not too much. And you get, you know, two more days for the money. So.
Let's see. Your basic ticket is $100, right?
Mm-hmm.
150, that's 15 movies. That's $150.
Yeah, it's
by basic box office price, right?
Yeah.
For a ticket over in Knoxville.
Yep. Average price is like $10. So it's definitely a good value.
Yeah, it's definitely a great value, and I've been supporting this ever since maybe the third or fourth year when they started with just one showing of, well, where they had John Dies at the End, and that was their first showing into Downtown West.
Yep. So So that was the first thing
that
came to?
And I can remember walking in and there being waiting with this, please, God, don't let this fail. Please, God, don't let this fail. Look on his face.
Hey, Steve. Danae is logged in. Is there any way you can get her, you can activate her onto the show?
Okay, hold on.
Okay. So, okay, just to remind you, by the way, we are having
Okay, here we go.
We are having technical difficulties tonight, but we're still enjoying our show. We're doing a very good job for all of you. Okay.
Yeah. Hello? Can y'all hear me? From the way you're sounding right now, we better have an ambulance on hand. Because I have seen you after the fest on Sundays. You look half dead. From all the work you do.
Well, I hope that I don't look that bad this year, but I can't guarantee that I won't.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is going to be the best thing this weekend with the crappy season Tennessee's having in football. Go see, go to the Knoxville War Fest instead because you'll have a better time.
I'm jealous.
Probably
sure.
be less of a massacre than the games, but let's not get into that.
I'll tell you what, that Bills game we just had was a massacre. 43 to, like, nothing. Or six or something terrible like that. Ooh. Anyway.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we
yeah.
can.
Hello.
Okay. Awesome. I'm jealous. I wish I could go. I'm over here in New Mexico.
Oh, wow. Even further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There isn't something going there. Even when it was just Short Film Festival, they have always put 200% into it. And people, you need to go to Central Cinema this weekend. Where else are you going to be able to spend $30 and see Smokey and the Bandit, The Visitor, and Five Deadly Venoms? And if you want to go for $40, a brand new horror film. What is the new film showing this weekend, William?
It's called Elizabeth Harvest, and that's actually kind of a sci-fi thing. It's got Carla Gugino in it, and can't remember the actress's name, but she's in Mad Max Fury Road and Neon Demon. It looks really cool. People seem excited about it. We showed the trailer a lot last week, and we had a lot of people interested in it.
Is it Christina Hendricks?
Yeah, people...
yeah, that's it, I think.
Yeah.
So I have something to say, Steve.
What?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy
birthday to you.
Happy
birthday to Steve. Happy birthday to you.
You old goat. Yeah.
Really, the main point of this show is if you're in Knoxville and you complain about having nothing to do in October, you ought to be slapped in the face because, one, they got all of the goodness that William's doing at Central Cinema. And it'll be a cozy, intimate theater. And he's programming the kind of double bills that you will definitely 200% see the movies with fans who were there to see the movie. And that makes a 200% difference, wouldn't you say, William?
For sure.
No one on their cell phones.
That's right.
Oh, that drives me nuts. Why pay for a ticket to go see a movie and be on your damn cell phone the whole time?
It doesn't make any sense to me, especially how expensive it is to go to the movies now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And also, this is a one-time showing next month, but if you're in Knoxville and you don't go see the showing of Mike Mendez's The Coven, The Convent, then I will personally go to your house and hit you with a ball bat.
Wait a minute, is this a new one or an old one?
The old one. With Adrian Barbeau and the demonic nuns.
I've seen it. I saw it when it came out on VHS.
Yeah,
wait,
the
so you said you don't like that
one
movie,
night
Steve?
Only thing.
You don't like that movie,
Mike
Mendez,
or? The Convent. It's the bloody disgusting thing. It's before the festival. It's going to
oh, yeah,
be
I
a double feature of Sweet 16, the 80s slasher, and Mike Mendez's The Convent.
I liked The
yeah,
Convent.
I want to see it. I've never seen it. I've heard it's good.
Anything
what's
Mike
the,
Mendez does is good.
What
but
are the
yeah,
Amityville movies? Yeah, I saw that they were doing those. I was kind of surprised. But what are those Amityville movies? Why are they showing those? Are those like late sequels or?
Yes. I'll talk
are
to someone
good?
Who's seen that. Don A, the one they're showing is Amityville, the one about the doll, Amityville Dollhouse, and Amityville It's About Time.
I've seen both of those.
Are they good?
I personally don't think so, but, you know, you might disagree.
It's weird that they're showing those.
No, I think the only... No, I haven't seen the newest one, Amityville Awakening, but the one, only ones of the sequels that I have seen, I like number two. It's like
oh,
a,
I love
a prequel.
Two. Yeah, that's I actually like two better than one.
So, and I'm not an automatic remake hater, but I was not too crazy about the remake with Ryan Reynolds, although him shirtless in it a lot kind of helped redeem it a little bit, but I digress.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Is it nicer having your own theater like Central Cinema where you can do something like pull Smokey as a Bandit out of the thin air as a tribute to Burt Reynolds' death with under a week?
Yeah, the bummer about that is that everybody else did it too, and that started showing at Regal and AMC today. So
oh,
we weren't alone. Yeah, they kind of took
you
the wind out of our sails.
You know, I'd rather see it at a small, privately owned theater like the one that you have, because I am so tired of big chains and their crappy ways of watching and movies. It just drives me crazy. The theater experience now in these mega chains sucks. That's why I would love to come down to your theater and watch a couple movies. I would just love to, because it's going to be people, these people
okay,
who enjoy
here's
the
your
film.
Choice,
don't
people. You can go to a big cinema theater and see Smokey and the Bandit, yeah. Or you could go to Central Cinema and see one of the greatest kung fu classics ever and Smokey and the Bandit. Or Smokey and the Bandit and a 10-year-old Georgia girl calling Glenn Ford a goddamn little pervert. You like to touch
ooh,
little girls, don't you?
What movie is that?
The Visitor.
Oh! I've seen that one.
Yeah.
That's
Django
on my
Jesus.
What the hell did I just watch list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Will AMC have Django Jesus? No.
Django
will
very true.
The AMC yeah it has
what the hell?
Franco Nero is Jesus and a bunch of bald little kids. Will it have a drunken Sam Peckinpah wondering what the hell he's doing in the movie? No. Will it have a little girl beating a holy crap out of someone on an ice skating rink? No. Your choices are clear, people. Go to Central Cinema.
Indeed.
Wait a minute. That was Franco Nero at the end?
Yeah.
As Jesus?
Yeah.
I never knew that. And I've seen that movie about 3 or 4 times. I don't remember her calling him a pervert, though. I do remember her.
No, that was Glenn Ford.
I do remember her sending a bunch of birds after Shelley Winters.
And he's trying to talk to her. And she calls him, she says, you goddamn little pervert, you like touching little girls, don't you?
And Lance Hendrickson was the mother's boyfriend, and she carried the genes of Satine, and I'm like, what the hell?
And
then she gets attacked by the birds at the end or something like that.
Yeah. And, William, did you know if you go on Lance Hendrickson's IMDb page, you won't find The Visitor on his list of credits?
Really?
Really?
Huh.
He hates this movie. The best story
That's
I got
funny.
Is a friend of mine took a poster of it to get him signed at convention, and all he said was, "Oh God, that piece of shit."
Now you just have to be in the right mindset when you watch it. I mean, it's a camp classic. It's up there with Troll 2 and Birdemic and.
Yeah.
Actually, it's better than Birdemic.
Yeah, I like Birdemic. It better than Birdemic.
Yeah.
I like pulling out nose hairs better than Birdemic. Yeesh. But I will give the guy credit. He made a movie. Oof. Anyway.
And
I tried to watch
Birdemic.
Do you
have anything scheduled for next
it.
Week already, or is that going to be another one? We'll have to wait and see.
Say what?
Do you have anything scheduled for next week? Next week's schedule pretty much ready. Central.
Yeah, it is. Is next weekend the John Landis? I think next weekend is the John Landis weekend. So we're doing...
Ooh.
So Art House Theater Day is September 23rd. And AGFA, they offered a schlock. There's a new schlock Blu-ray coming out. That's John Landis' first film. And they're doing Art House Theater Day only screenings. And so we joined in on that and decided that we were just going to go ahead and fill the whole weekend with John Landis movies. So we're showing Blues Brothers, American Werewolf in London, and Coming to America, and then Schlock on Sunday.
Oh, man.
Oh,
I would love to be there so much. Oh.
I have never seen Schlock.
I haven't seen it yet either. I'm really excited
because
he's one of my favorite directors. Yeah, it's called The Banana Monster.
Yeah. Schlock, a.k.a. Banana Monster.
Yeah, I watched the Trailers from Hell the other day where he does a commentary on the Banana Monster trailer. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Next weekend.
You're sounding rough there, William, so I'll just let you go for the night. I just remember, people, go to the Knoxville Horror Fest. Go to Central Cinema. It is our place in this area to watch interesting movies that are not going to be shown in the regular theaters. If you're bored of what's in regular theaters, go to Central Cinema. You won't be disappointed.
That's right. Are we going to see you at Five Deadly Venoms this weekend, Steve?
Yeah, I'll try to make it, definitely. I want to see that on the
okay.
big screen. I've never seen it on the big screen before.
Cool. All righty. Well, thanks for having me on.
And thanks,
okay.
thanks for coming.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm sure I'll be back on again sometime. But you guys have a good night.
You too.
You too.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
But, yeah. Hello?
I'm getting something up. Sorry, people.
That's all
Too
right.
Too bad about Carl.
Here is the complete schedule again for Knoxville Horror Film Fest, and that is Anna and the Apocalypse, the first British zombie comedy musical. A 4K restoration of Zombie and the 4K restoration of Maniac, where if you listen earlier in the show, there's probably going to be maybe a live question thing over the phone with Bill Lustig answering your questions about Maniac.
Oh, I would love to see those two movies on the big screen.
Me too.
And The Ranger, House of Sweat and Tears, lose. Well, if you've seen the trailer, that one just looks trippy as hell. If you want to look it up on YouTube, it's L-U-V. And, of course, all the creatures were staring, which is a Christmas anthology film, horror.
Ooh, I've got to find that one.
Is it good?
And, of course, another one by Ant Timpson, which is The Field Guide to Evil. Blood Wake, which seems like it's on the verge of being the next So Bad That It's Good movie.
Okay.
A long-lost 80s slasher that's just been found again. And The Clover Hitch Killer, which I think
never
is about somebody strangling
one.
Someone with ropes. I mean, that's Clover Hitch, right?
Yep. Yes.
I'm jealous.
And here's something you might be interested in, Donna. You remember the book series from the 80s called Scary Stories to Go to... To Read the Dark?
I've heard of it. I never read them.
Well, they're doing a documentary on it and how they got banned from schools in the 80s for being too scary for kids.
Oh, they weren't that
I heard
scary.
That they were doing either a movie anthology or a TV show based on it.
Both.
Oh,
there's
wow.
A documentary. Del Toro's doing a series about, a movie about them. Anthology.
Oh, wow.
And there's Sadistic Intentions. And, of course, the one that I can't wait to see, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot.
Wait, he killed
really
Hitler and
that.
Then the Bigfoot? That's all one title?
Yeah. And Sam Elliott plays the title character.
Okay.
I gotta see that.
I've got one for you guys. I want to know if you've even heard of it. Romeo and Juliet versus The Living Dead.
Isn't that an Asian film?
No,
it's American.
No, it's a cashing on Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. Which the books
no.
The books are
no, it's not Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. No, it's nothing. It's a very low budget. It's kind of, I don't know if it's a trauma movie, but it reminds me of a trauma movie.
No, but I know what he's saying. It's like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, where they take a literary classic and put zombies in it.
Yeah, well, and it's updated. It's updated, and it's funny because They use the Shakespearean language, but then they also have modern stuff in it. Like, for instance, dearest cousin, there is a zombie floating in yon pool. Dearest cousin, there's always a fucking zombie in yon pool. Stuff like that. It's hilarious.
Yeah. And here's the after stuff. Well, there's Shockwaves. They're doing a podcast live there. That's the Blumhouse crew. And we got the Ice Lesser Halloween special, which is like a series of short films. Plus, of course, the usual Hours of Shorts, the usual Grindhouse Grindout, the Karaokalypse Party, which is going to be after Anna and the Apocalypse, Karaoke! And Punk Rock Party. All four, if you buy the basic tickets, $100. But with $200, you get the RIP section, which is VIP, which means you're guaranteed a seat in all of the Central Cinema. That means you're guaranteed a seat to all of the screenings and access to everything.
And you know what? That sounds like $1,000 worth of stuff. You're really getting a lot for that price.
Yes,
well,
you are.
Well, like I said, at $10 a movie and there's 50 movies, that's $150 right there.
Yep.
And, yes, it's my birthday. I got some cake in there. Thank you again to William Lustig and William the Half-Eight to show up. And thank you, Doc, for coming in at the last moment for a save. You get the touchdown twice this week, damn it. Twice this week you got the touchdown. And you'll see us all three again tomorrow night for Fuck Your Favorite Movie or Why the Movie That You Love Sucks. And why the hell do I see a hotel in the background? It's like it's overlooking a cliff or something, right?
Yeah.
It's an overlook.
Yeah.
An overlook.
With that, I would like to say good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. I'll take me a second to get to the music, but I will. Good, say good night. So I'll say good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood receiver pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Well, Magneto's right. There's a war coming.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
You sure you're on the right side?
Hasta la vista, baby.